Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought 2 wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first 3 orders. Service fees and terms apply.
1 o'clock hour here on a Wednesday. Hope you're having a good day. I just like this one of those days.
You don't like the weather?
Look, some people I think like this. If it was a Saturday and I had nowhere to go, I just chill on the couch, get a blanket, watch some college football, I'm all about it. Not when it's like, yeah, things to do. You got to go to work. You got things to do. I got other stuff to do today. I got another show tonight. Like, no, I don't want this crappy weather. I know I have to walk the dog. So, no, I'd rather it not be cloudy and rainy. Is it still raining or is it just cloudy? Now, we got the blinds closed behind me, so I can't tell if it's still raining or not.
Big fan of my screen porch and weather like this. Okay. Outside, right, little drizzle hitting the rooftop, put a movie on.
Exactly.
It's not raining right now.
But that's what I'm saying. That's if nice. The weather's good if you're not working. You know, like if you weren't working, you had a fire pit. Yeah, this all sounds great. But again, not on a Wednesday in the middle of the day. Now, some of you have it way worse, right? You're actually working outside in these elements. You know, you're delivering mail or whatever
versus
it may be.
Versus us just doing this stupid
It's nice
show.
And dry in here, you know. But if you were asking my opinion on do I like this weather, not unless I'm off of work.
I have decided that if radio doesn't work out here in the long term, I got to find a job. So I got to find a job. I'm going to have to
a job.
No. I'm going to have to find a job that is like not behind a desk. I'm going to need to go to Centric so I can like be free flowing in a workplace, or I got to be a mailman. Like I got to be a postal worker. I need something. I got to like learn a trade. Like I got to learn to be a plumber or something. I can't ever have a regular desk job ever again. I'll hate it. I'll hate it.
Well, this radio thing so far is working out, so I hope that you don't have to do that.
You want to be able to be, you would be the person who is texting in saying, screw you for saying it's a little bit cold in the studio.
I would rather be that person, dead serious, than like, hey guys, we got our 9:30 today on the, like, oh God.
No, I'm with you. Sitting at a cubicle for 8 hours. Sitting at a cubicle for 8 hours would be a big adjustment from what we do, where we're obviously talking sports in a studio. 913-586-7965. Someone says Gold's take on the weather today is as bad as Cody saying the studio was too cold.
I got crushed universally.
I don't think it's as bad.
It was 105
degrees. Cody was complaining it was cold in here while you guys were sweating your ass off. I'm just saying I don't prefer this weather unless I'm sitting at home.
Worse.
You know? Anyway, someone said they figured you would try to be a chef, Cody. Not after the green onion incident. Nope.
You know, I like being in the kitchen. Maybe I don't have any professional training. That someone says I work as a courier. That's in Cody's wheelhouse. I did that job.
Yeah, you did. You did.
I did that job for a number of years, like maybe 5 or 6 years of my life. So yeah, not bad. You're behind the wheel of a car, windows down, music, podcast, whatever. Yeah, that was all right. I liked that.
We'll get back to the Chiefs here in about 8 minutes or so, talking about the running back situation and where they're at, knowing that Isaiah Pacheco is getting ramped up today, going to practice in some form for the Chiefs. We heard that from Andy Reid. Let's talk Royals briefly. That's because we know it's award season. All the awards are coming out and everything, which is neat to see the Royals well represented, either as finalists or winning the Silver Slugger Award, both Bobby Witt Jr. and Salvador Perez. But we know after they brought back Michael Walker, the clear priority now is still finding a leadoff hitter, maybe a third baseman. But how do you do that? Because the roster is still kind of set in terms of who are you kicking out. So maybe you find a trade. For the first time this offseason, winter meetings are still about a month away or less than a month away. There's a name that was floated as a trade candidate that I think we all agree could be really interesting for the Royals. Now, it might be a guy that fits for a lot of teams, so I don't know what the exact market could be. But Alec Bohm is rumored to be available. Talented third baseman, still under 30, not a free agent till 2027. He's ARB eligible next year, so you're not going to break the bank financially. compensation-wise, what does it take? You need a leadoff hitter. I'd be willing to give up a decent amount. This isn't going out and trading for a Juan Soto or something. So you're not giving up like every single top prospect in your organization. No. Does it involve trading a big leaguer with a prospect? I honestly just don't know what the compensation is going to be. But him, the player itself, absolutely interested in Alec Bohm as a potential leadoff hitter trade candidate for the Royals.
I really think that this is a near perfect fit. And I've also, I don't know if you've leaned into this either. I firmly decided I want one more bat without question. And I know that they've said like, well, you know, we want him to like rotate in. Like, nope. I want a full-time starting bat because that is the only obvious area of improvement needed by the Royals. If you told me right now they had to roll out their starting rotation and roll out their bullpen, I'd actually feel pretty good. If you told me they had to roll out 5, 6, 7 of their starters in the offensive line, I'd feel pretty good. The only obvious need is a leadoff hitter who gets on base or a middle-of-the-order hitter who gets on base so that they can hit Bobby Witt Jr. leadoff. It's painfully obvious. So whether that's they're willing to pay for Bregman or they're willing to pay for Santander, a player that I think you and I both know the Royals like.
Yes.
Or a player like Alec Bohm, I think that's the kind of move where this falls into the transactional category. The reason why I like Alec Bohm is it would seem fairly obvious to me they would include at least one of your big league players, either Mikel Garcia or MJ Melendez or Chris Bubich or Alec Marsh, and some of your minor league system for a player with multiple years of control who gets on base, who plays a position that you can upgrade at right now. Not that couldn't be better down the road, but that you can upgrade at now. I want the Royals to make one more big move. I want them to make one splash, and then they can be done for the rest of winter until they get to April.
This all stems from Jeff Passan's reporting that says the Phillies have actually placed all-star third baseman Alec Bohm on the trade block. They're trying to make some adjustments for this year. It's a roster there that's getting a little bit older, and so they're trying to, even though they've been successful the last couple of years, they're trying to kind of rebuild that thing a little bit and mix in some youth with some of the aging veterans. Alec Bohm is coming off a season in which he made his first all-star game. This isn't some player that is on a downward spiral. He had a second half that wasn't as impressive, but during the first half, 830 OPS, 11 home runs, 70 RBI.
How old is he?
27 or 28, I think. 28 years old. He's not free agent eligible for a couple of years. Financially, it's a great solution. I just don't know what the compensation would be. Yeah, like, is it as simple as an Alec Marsh type with the prospect? Is it, it has to be Brady Singer with a prospect? Those are two different stories in terms of what you're asking for. In terms of some of the projections, SpotTrack estimates that he would cost around, with arbitration, 2 more years of ARB eligible. $8.1 million is what they put the estimate at.
And then probably 12 or 13 for the following year if he continues to be productive. But listen to those numbers. This is why this deal for the Royals has to be incredibly appealing, Gold. This is a way to improve your team without significantly adding to your payroll. Not something that the Royals have been shy of by any means. They've added tons to their payroll.
But it's not 15 or 20 million a year.
But yeah, it's like playing both sides of the coin. You gave Waka a bunch of money. You spent a bunch of money last offseason. And now you could add a player for a relatively low expense, $20 million over 2 years.
Let's say it is Brady Singer. You making the trade?
I would. I feel better because if Waka was back, you
like
can't
just
even
straight up.
If
it's straight up, Singer.
I don't think that gets it done. Like there's some other exchange happening,
Brady.
But I don't think one for one trades happen all that often in baseball.
It's not one of their better prospects. I'd probably
I think I would, Drew, because Waka's back. If Waka's not back, then we're having a different conversation. You need Brady to be your fourth starter.
Not that I think you'd make the trade. It would be a quicker yes with Marsh. But if you think it's Brady Singer, I mean, that goes back to the conversation with Vern, where Vern's like, I don't know if I would trade him right now. And that was part of, you know, your guys' whole conversation. If it was Brady, like if you had to get rid of Brady, are you willing to sacrifice losing Brady for that bat that you think they need so badly?
Like,
badly do you think they need that bat?
It's very easy for me to say it, obviously. Yes. I think rotation, if all of a sudden the rotation was Reagans, Lugo, Waka, and then suddenly either Bubich or
Marsh.
Right. Sorry. I was thinking
Kyle
Wright is in there. And I work out my fourth or I can do that because I think it's enough of an upgrade. All of a sudden I got a leadoff hitter. I got my third baseman. And based on the season he just had, I think it's a significant upgrade at third base. I think Mikel Garcia can be a great big league player, but he's coming off a, let's be honest, a very, not a good season, a bad season, as a matter of fact. Yeah. And this team found a way to get to the postseason. I got to elevate. How do I make sure, A, I'm back in the postseason? How do I elevate? I know they won in large part because of starting pitching. I don't think the drop-off is going to be as huge. And if there is, I got to then have my offense pick it up.
Yeah, and I think the bullpen's better already on paper.
Because I'm worried about a little bit of regression just naturally from Seth Lugo. Not that he's going to be bad. But
maybe
he
won't be a Cy Young finalist.
Yeah, like that's, by the way, that's not a crazy thing. Oh my goodness, he might not be a Cy Young finalist again.
Such a hater.
He regresses a little bit. Well, then my offense is going to have to pick up some of the slack. I know what Bobby is. We know what Vinny was capable of when he was fully healthy. I need somebody to pick up the slack. And are you confident that MJ and Michael Garcia and some of these guys are just going to do that? Or do I need to go outside the organization? Alec Bohm to me would be a clear upgrade at the top of the order. Bohm, Witt, Vinny, Salvi. Okay. I kind of like that.
Yeah, that's far deeper and a much more challenging lineup than they've had before. Small NFL news. Adam okay. Schefter reporting Vikings quarterback J.J. McCarthy had a second surgery on his right knee to address the swelling that developed and an uptick in rehab activity. As part of the procedure, this is Kevin Seifert over ESPN, he was given a biological injection. According to him, there's no change in his recovery timeline. I would hate this if I was a Vikings fan. He couldn't even get through the recovery period of the first surgery before they're like, we're going to inject some more stuff into your knee and give you another surgery. I understand it's probably minor, but like, man, would you be feeling all that good about that if you were a Vikings fan?
And make you nervous that he also still has until next July or August to be ready to roll. Maybe a little bit of minor setback, although I don't even call it a setback if they're saying his timeline remains the same. So I think it's still whatever you felt about J.J. McCarthy probably shouldn't change. But I get why you would be more skeptical. I have no idea how common it is for a player to have to require this injection. I don't know. I mean, I had never heard of that before, so
that's,
I'm not gonna.
That's usually what stands
out.
It's
not too often. I would have.
Yeah, a lot of guys have had knee surgeries in the NFL, and this is the first time ever I recall this injection being given.
There's no way it's the first time, though. Maybe the first time we know, but there's no way it's the first time. Here's all it says is biologic injection, a shot or injection of a biologic drug, which is a protein-based medicine from living cells. That's the simple definition of it. I have no idea. It's not the same as steroids. That's what you normally hear, something like that.
A lot
like
take steroids, you know?
Well, there's certain steroids you can take. But,
I'm joking.
But yeah, I don't know, man. Like, it's funny you brought that up, because I was telling you that we were talking about eBay and selling things and cards and stuff like that. I just had a lucky pull of a J.J. McCarthy.
You're getting back into
flawless,
the card game.
A little bit. J.J. McCarthy flawless on card autograph. And now I'm like, I don't like hearing this news.
Maybe just wait till he plays before you sell it.
I think so. Might have to.
Let him look good under Kevin O'Connell before you start selling.
Might have to.
Maybe someone will buy it on the text line. How much did you pay for the... You played a card break, right?
Yeah, it was actually got a...
Was it hundreds of dollars or tens of dollars?
Not to nerd out too much, but it was what they call a serial break. So you're basically buying a spot in the break of like number 18. And if there happens to be any card that's 18 out of anything, you get that card. It was like a $12 spot. Very lucky. And the card is 18 out of 20.
Is there good money in this, or do people just do it for the video stream stuff?
I mean, basically, you're still gambling.
No, I meant like for the people who are buying the $1,000 box.
Oh, for sure.
Is there money in it?
Yeah, if they do their break right, absolutely, because they're going to sell, you know, in that break, there were 99 spots. So let's say it's more than a $10 average.
That every single, like, they're not going to keep any of the cards at the end of this thing.
Nope.
We know that because there's only out of 99.
Yeah, there are 99 spots. But spot number one, which could be for 101s or one out of 99, one out of 75, or one out of whatever, that person owns all the ones. That spot went for like $600. You see what I'm saying? So it just depends.
Anyway, you only paid $12 for yours.
Yeah, I got lucky. People were sleeping because they do an auction. People were sleeping at the wheel, like people not paying attention.
Oh, so you got a cheap spot at 18.
I got very lucky, yeah.
What number is J.J. McCarthy number 18? That would make it even funnier.
No, I just picked a random number.
I think he's number 9. Like he was in college, maybe.
I couldn't remember.
Someone says that just means they injected stem cells, like our friends over at QC Kinetics. There you go.
Oh, good to know. This injury report brought to you by.
That's right.
I've never had stem cells injected. Maybe I should have that injected into
my foot. No surgery, drugs, or downtime. QCKinetics.com.
Do you think I should get stem cells injected into my foot?
All I know is today, Cody's got the gout again.
Yeah.
Because that foot is dragging again. Is it the cold weather? What is it? Your foot, dragging that club foot behind you today.
I noticed yesterday.
Sorry, I acted up a couple of days ago, and I've been treating it. I've been trying to get it back right. It's just not back right yet.
You looked like you had a little bit of a limp yesterday. I didn't say anything, but I just thought it stood out to
today
me.
Today was very enough. Noticeable. We all saw it, Drew. We all saw it. Someone says, better money on those cards, Cody, than buying a pallet of crap and not being able to sell it.
Hey, if you're the person, I keep forgetting to save your number. There's a person on the text line who's offered to just buy us out.
Yeah. Do they know it's a box?
Buy us out for the cost. Yeah.
They know it's a box, not a pallet.
Yeah, they know. They said they'll buy us out.
Let's just get out of it, please.
I told
them. It's been a year.
Whatever it is, anything.
If it's been you, for $250, they said they'd just buy us out. And
we'll do that. Let's do that, and then let's buy Drew a pair of headphones with some of the money, please.
You know what? That's a fair
deal. Still duct tape. I mean, come on.
Do those look terrible? Yeah,
I'm going to have to retape them a little bit
later. No, have to retape them. Buy a new pair.
I got
to
retape them before I come back in tonight.
Drew, I don't want to get deep into your finances here. I'm just saying, I guarantee you wasted $30 on something that you should just bought headphones with instead. We all have those things.
No, I totally agree with that.
I don't know if it's like a mini fridge that only holds one beer, like the ones that they're selling in the garage, but I don't know what it is.
I agree with that.
There's $30 you spent that could have been used on headphones.
I can second that.
Don't bet on a DraftKings parlay this weekend. Instead, get some headphones.
Yeah, settle down, Drew. Get something that you need.
Uh-huh.
Or it could be like the degenerate gambler and say, wow, I could bet $5 to win $30, and then guess
there
what?
You go. Yeah, it's always a smart strategy.
Yeah, that's always
real
good.
Financially sound.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure my parents would love to hear that. Yep.
Yeah.
You did what?
Gambling problem? Yeah. Getting help is your best bet.
Uh-huh. I've seen that as a trend.
KSGamblingHelp.com.
I've seen that as a trend a little bit more now, where people on social media are complaining about a certain thing, and it's like I'm mad that the first quarter prop didn't hit for Miami of Ohio and Kent State or whatever, and then somebody just posts.
Miami.
If you have a gambling, they quote tweet, if you have a gambling problem, like,
that's right.
There are certain things that if you're betting on, I'm like, what the hell's wrong with you? What are you betting on this for?
You're not
a professional gambler. No one.
You bet on
that
snooker.
One time.
One
and Ken let me down. Okay?
Ken.
Bastard.
Someone that definitely has not been letting you down if you've been riding with him fantasy football-wise or making some bets is Kareem Hunt.
No,
and,
quite the opposite.
We know that Isaiah Pacheco is getting closer. Not this weekend, though, but closer to returning. Nate Taylor joined us yesterday on the show, and it sounds like you're in agreement with him. You guys are a little concerned that maybe he's hitting a bit of a wall. We'll talk about this, but this is what Nate had to say.
What's trending?
What's trending is presented by Baker University, where graduates earn higher salaries and land jobs faster than any other university in Kansas. Apply today at BakerU.edu. Number one centers around the Chiefs. The latest on the injury front. You heard from Andy Reid earlier today on your home for the Chiefs, 96.5, The Fan. Andy said Juju Smith-Schuster has, quote, a good chance of playing on Sunday against Buffalo. Did say it's unlikely that Charles Omenihu and Isaiah Pacheco would play. That's not a surprise. Also, though, mentioned everybody's practicing, though, in some form. They're going to ramp up Pacheco and Omenihu, but this is all good. I mean, it's trending. Knock on wood, where they could end up being the healthiest they've been all year in about 2 or 3 weeks.
By the Panthers game, feels like an easy one to just like work your way back in just a little bit, right? Hey, Minnie, you want 10% of the snaps, 12% of the snaps? Pacheco, want 7 to 10 carries, working your way back in? We got a JV squad coming up in a week. Next up on Watch Training, the Indianapolis Colts. Head coach Shane Steichen has announced they're going back to Anthony Richardson as their starting quarterback, announcing he'll be the starter the rest of the way. Two full games of Joe Flacco went horribly. 2.5, really, because he came in at least for that one snap when Anthony Richardson tapped himself out, at least on that end. But Anthony Richardson, the starting quarterback the rest of the way for the Colts.
Surprised how quickly they switched. I mean, just a good for. I mean, in long term, it might be a good thing because maybe Anthony Richardson can learn from that experience and obviously tapping out of a game and all of that, because Joe Flacco was never the long-term solution, but
he was bad.
I'm still surprised. I thought, I mean, at the time, it was like, this was not a short-term thing. Joe Flacco was going to be the guy the rest of the way, and that quickly they switched back. It tells me more and more that decision was solely based on guys in the locker room were so ticked off that he, you know, pulled himself out of the game more than it was just performance-based. Next up on What's Trending, college basketball. Kansas last night in the Champ Classic got a 77-69 win against the Michigan State Spartans. For Kansas, makes Bill Self the winningest coach in KU basketball history, 591-143. That, of course, surpasses Fog Allen's 590. Pretty cool video that they put up. Well, if you're a KU fan, it was a cool video that they put up.
Yeah.
Next up for them Saturday.
It's stupid for anybody else, you know. The
I enjoyed the video. Oakland, That is the Oakland team out of Detroit, as in the Oakland team that had that kid last year make all those three-point shots and beat Kentucky.
Yeah, I think that's
who that's the same
he
team.
He got asked about it in the side. He's like, what does it mean? He said, it means that I'm old. That's what Bill Self said. It means that I'm old. That's how
I'm
I got
old,
to that
and I've coached a lot of good players. Next, go ahead.
Yeah, which makes sense. Next up on What's Trending, the KC Current have found a new general manager, hiring Caitlin Carducci as their new GM. You might remember they had a GM in place, hired a new head coach or manager of the football club. Seemed like maybe they were at odds about what the structure of the organization would be with Vlacco, so they moved on. Caitlin Carducci will be the new general manager of the KC Current.
Lastly on What's Trending, an update on Greg Popovich. Of course, a longtime head coach for the San Antonio Spurs. He's been out for a while. We now know it's due to, unfortunately, his health complications. Had a stroke on November 2nd. He is expected to make a full recovery. It's obviously a scary situation involving a Hall of Fame head coach. That is What's Trending. Here on Cody and Gold earlier today, we had Ross Tucker, our Odyssey NFL insider, join us as he does each and every week, thanks to Hellman's Mayonnaise. And we asked him about the offensive lineman. That's why we were excited to have him on the show, because we started our conversation talking about Wanya Morris, who I think is more appreciated now based off of what we saw from Kingsley.
Yeah, I think that's probably a good way to describe it. I think Wanya...
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Is okay. I think Kingsley is not. And that's kind of the difference, right? I mean, Wanya is good enough that the Chiefs can probably get by and keep winning the way they have been. I think Kingsley is very likely to cost them a game at this point, and maybe a critical game. I guess, what's the update on Wanya's injury?
I mean, he got back in that game yesterday, but here's the secret behind the way the Chiefs handle media. I won't know how Wanya is until Andy Reid gives an update today in about an hour, Ross. So we'll get an idea of whether or not he's on the practice field probably inside of an hour. If he practices, he'll be okay. The real question is, do they baby it because they don't want to see Kingsley on the field?
Yeah, that's a really interesting question, right? Because, I mean, it's rare for a guy to come back in a game and or finish a game and not play the next week. It happens sometimes, you know, where a guy can, like, suck it up and play the rest of the game, and then they do some type of imaging, or after the game they're like, oh, wow, this is a worse injury than we realized. I can't believe that guy was able to suck it up and play through that. You know, that happens every once in a while. But usually if a guy – A, comes back in a game, B, finishes a game, he's usually able to play in the next game. I do think, you know, obviously, this is the biggest game of the NFL regular season so far, and probably will end up being the case because, you know, I think the teams right now in the AFC look better, the Bills and Chiefs, than anybody in the NFC, although the Eagles are kind of coming now. And, you know, this game will go a long – like, if the Chiefs win this game, they're going to have the number one seed.
Yep.
It's they just are. So there is a lot of importance on it from that perspective to play Wanya to make sure they win the game. But also, you know, they got to make sure – you know, they're in a good situation, actually. It really depends on the injury, but I was going to say they want to let that thing heal if it's something that – he needs to give some time to. But the weird thing is, you know, they might have like multiple weeks at the end of the year. But that's a long way away right now. It's like 2 months away.
I just think they just start doing like mini. If they win this game, give Travis the day off against the Panthers. You know, Whitey can have that day off too. Kingsley can get some work in that day too. Ross,
you know what's so funny that you said that? It's so funny that you said that because before that, like basically NFL load management before the season. I have a fantasy podcast. I have a bunch of podcasts, but in particular the Fantasy Feast podcast. My co-host was not high on Travis Kelce for fantasy football at all because he said that he thought Travis was going to be a smart time player during the regular season. Basically a play on words from part-time player,
mm-hmm.
but he called him a smart time player, meaning that he really thought the Chiefs would manage Travis's snaps and playing time to make sure he was 100% for January like he was last year, which is why a big reason why they won the Super Bowl, which he definitely wasn't last year during the regular season. I mean, you guys have to correct me if I'm wrong, but just watching the games, it doesn't seem like that's been the case
opposite.
At all.
Yeah. He's had like 30 catches the last
ball 20 times.
Yeah, 16 targets a week or so ago. So that definitely hasn't been the case whatsoever. As we're talking with Ross Tucker, Odyssey NFL Insider. Back to the offensive line just for a second. A lot of the conversation here about Donovan Smith, who played left tackle in Kansas City a year ago. He still hasn't been signed by anybody. He's out on the street. How difficult or problematic would it be if later on in the season or a week from now, they bring him in, he's on the practice squad for a couple weeks and at some point would have to play? How easily do you think a Donovan Smith could be ready if a Wanya Morris got hurt and they realize they can't start the rookie?
Pretty easily, pretty quickly, depending on what he's been doing. I mean, the fact that he hasn't retired would make me think that he probably has been staying in shape and waiting for an opportunity like this, but you also don't know. I mean, it's November. There are guys that, you know, Ndamukong Suh got to a point where he did it like 3 years in a row where he just wouldn't go to training camp. He wouldn't even play the first like half of the year. He would wait to see which teams actually had a chance to do something. And then he would sign with one of them and be fresh for the second half of the year in the playoffs. That might be the case with Donovan. I don't know him that well. Watching him at times in college, even for the Chiefs, he doesn't strike me as the always ready, working out every day kind of guy. I've never gotten that. That said, they could very easily. In fact, I don't know that he would do it. I mean, if he would do this, he probably already would be signed somewhere. But yeah, I think it's probably time pretty soon to call him back, get him on the practice squad, and then have him if he's willing to do that. You know, they mm-hmm. might have to give him some decent coin to do that. Because if he's willing to be on a practice squad, trust me, there's a ton of teams that would already want him on the practice squad. I mean, he probably doesn't want to play unless someone pays him per week what he thinks he's worth.
Ross, I'd like to talk other things in the NFL with you as well. It's just announced that the Colts are going to go back to Anthony Richardson as their starting quarterback after the Joe Flacco stuff went so poorly. Sometimes it's like victim of like recency bias. So I guess I'll take your opinion. You get to catch a lot of different games in the NFL. I feel like the last 18 months in the NFL is a how-to book for dummies on how to not handle young quarterbacks. Is that what feels like is happening in the league between Caleb Williams and like the setup they've got going on there and not getting rid of Eberflus before or Anthony Richardson now or anyone else in between? It feels like there's been a lot of mishandling of young quarterbacks.
Okay, so let's talk about that a little bit, okay? Let's start with Caleb Williams. What's your issue with what the Bears have done there?
For the third straight time, they have drafted a young quarterback, Trubisky, Justin Fields, and that kept the old coach who stunk, let him start, and then fired, and then made the young quarterback start with a fresh guy. By the time this season's done, Eberflus won't be his coach, and he'll be under completely different offensive management. They did the talent thing around him, which I like. Hey, put a bunch of people around him. I hate the idea that they stuck with Eberflus.
Got it. So first of all, Eberflus. just so we know. That's okay. You don't work Chicago radio. You work in Kansas City radio. That's fine. I guess I can see that. What I would tell you is last year he took over as the DC, and for the second half of the year, the defense was very, very good.
Yeah.
And actually, they've been very good this year with him calling the defense. So I can see why the Bears did not want to move on from Eberflus. They won a bunch of games at the end of last year. The defense played so well. I think they wanted Caleb Williams to go to a team with a good defense. He absolutely has. They didn't want to lose that part of it. But they said, you got to get a new OC. So he did. He got Waldron, who 2 years ago everybody was giving all of the credit to for Geno Smith having that incredible year, right? So nobody, when he hired Waldron, or not many people, like, panned it. They understood it because of what he had done with Geno. Your point's well taken. I guess I just think sometimes the players have to take some accountability, right? Like,
sure.
Trubisky has had other opportunities now. Fields has had other opportunities now with other organizations, and they've shown that they're just not that good. And maybe that's the case with Caleb Williams. Maybe not. We'll see. In terms of the Anthony Richardson thing, you know, they were 4-3, and they had just lost a very, very winnable game that he came out of, which none of us have ever heard of in our entire lives, a quarterback tapping out of a game like
that. Was
that. Weird. We've never heard of that. Late third quarter, very winnable game, and he lost a lot of respect from the guys in the locker room for doing that. He was also putting up some of the most hilarious stat lines we've ever seen and playing atrocious. And so I think Shane Steichen thought, How am I going to, like, go into this locker room and tell the guys that this kid's starting again? I'm not giving them the best chance to win. He didn't think he was. And so he wanted to go with Flacco. Where I think he's making a mistake is I think he's – I would have stuck with Flacco for one more week. It wouldn't have just been a two-week thing for me with Flacco, because they went against the Vikings on the road, very good defense, and the Bills, and he did some really good things about against the Bills. He also had a couple turnovers. I would have given Flacco this. The Colts were still very much in the playoff race.
Mm-hmm.
I would have given Flacco one more game against the Jets this Sunday.
Last one for you, Ross. What about Pittsburgh? Because it feels different than a couple years ago when they had that, what was it, like a 10-0, 11-0 start, and nobody believed in them. And they're like, okay, they're not real. And then everybody was kind of proven correct. This go around, I don't know if I believe they can go to a Super Bowl, but I certainly don't think they're, you know, this fake phony team. Their schedule just gets way tougher here down the stretch.
Way, way tougher, which is going to be a problem. And it's so funny because, you know, I was on with the guys in Buffalo. I go on with you guys 10:30 Central every Wednesday. I go on with the guys in Buffalo 5 o'clock Eastern every Tuesday. They asked me about the Steelers, too. I don't know if you guys are comparing notes, but this is like...
We're all just curious if we should take them serious.
No, that's fair. And what I would say is I would take them serious in any one-game scenario.
There you go, yeah.
I would not take them serious to go to the Super Bowl and or win it. And the reason why I say that is because they're going to have to win 3 playoff games, at least, just to get to the Super Bowl. And in at least 2 of those, maybe even all 3, they're going to have to defeat an MVP-level quarterback, right? Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes. Russell Wilson's done some positive things. Russell Wilson has helped that team. Russell Wilson's playing pretty well. He's not nearly on the level of those other 3 guys. That's really the problem for any of the other teams in the AFC. Now, I think the Chargers, they feel like Herbert's kind of getting there. We know Burrow can play at that level. The reality is, I don't see a team going to the Super Bowl from really either conference, but especially the AFC, without having a quarterback playing an MVP-like level because you have to win three games unless you get the number one seed. And even if you just have to win two games, then you're still playing against Lamar, Josh Allen, or Mahomes in those two games. And do I think you're going to win those games late against them? No, maybe one, but not two or three or four.
Ross Tucker, our Odyssey NFL insider. Appreciate it, man. Where are you at this weekend? You got a college game?
Oh, no. I got an awesome weekend. Tomorrow night, I'm in the radio booth for Westwood One with Ian Eagle for Commanders Eagle.
That's a great game.
The Westwood broadcast or not. But that Commanders Eagles game is going to be huge. And then I'll fly right to Miami first thing Friday morning. I got the Raiders at the Dolphins for CBS on Sunday, which I'm looking for. The Dolphins actually look pretty darn good Monday night. So I'm curious. I think I saw somewhere where they have a 25% chance to make the playoffs. I have no idea what the math is on that, but I'm looking forward to see if they can kind of go on a run here.
Not bad at all. You get to stay in your backyard for football tomorrow night, and then you get to go down to South Beach. Sounds good to me.
Yeah, heck yeah, man.
So that was Ross Tucker a little bit earlier on today. He joins us each and every week here on Cody and Gold, and our conversations with Ross Tucker are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. Mayo game day, be delicious. And yeah, he talked about a couple matchups he's got definitely tomorrow night. We'll talk about tomorrow.
Three huge NFL games: Ravens, Steelers, Eagles, Commanders, and then Chiefs, Bills, the biggest of the three.
As far as the Steelers go, I totally agree with what he said, which is
they can beat anyone, but they can't beat three of those
anyone's
dangerous, in a row.
But do we really think they're winning two or three games in a row? And I don't know how anybody can say yes. In fairness to Pittsburgh, they have a chance to shut us all up over the next month.
Yeah, they win this weekend.
That schedule is brutal.
Ravens
ahead.
Twice, Bengals twice. They have the Eagles.
Mm-hmm.
They have
the Browns twice.
Yeah. That doesn't matter anything. Browns twice.
It's
lazy.
A brutal stretch. And so if they're able to get out of that and still get to like 12 wins and win the AFC North, then okay, all right. And is Russell Wilson going to go beat, as Russ said, going to go beat Lamar and beat Mahomes in back-to-back weeks? I just don't believe that.
Some of it is just the quality difference. I think you have to think that formerly heading on a Hall of Fame track, Russell Wilson is now the quarterback of the Steelers. Like, he turned back the clock. Tomlin turned back the clock. And I think there's been a couple of times
in the last couple weeks he's found a way to make the play they needed against the Commanders.
Yeah, and so, but like the Commanders are 0-3 against teams above 500. So like still to me, there's a problem with that win. Not that it's a bad win. It's definitely all wins are good wins, but like that's a better than normal win. It's better than beating the Jets, okay? But also the Commanders are winless against winning teams this year, despite the fact that they're a very good football team. So, like, I need to see the Steelers. Honest to God, I need to see them against the Ravens. I need to see them against Cincinnati. Division teams, who they've lost to, you know, the Eagles. Like, I need to see them against some of these teams that I know to be the upper echelon of the NFL and then start making some determinations. I'm close to almost buying in and being like, yeah, man, they could just be a problem in the playoffs for anybody. If they get Russell Wilson to play good quarterback, they're one of the best defense in the league. Nobody's arguing that.
They got some good
offensive weapons. No one's denying that. It's just like how much Russell Wilson do you
believe? The tricky thing is if they don't win the division, okay, let's say they're the three seed then.
Two road games and three games.
Well, they're the three seed, so then they're hosting six seed wild card. Who knows who that's going to be? It, in that scenario, it could be the Chargers. It could be the Broncos. It could be the Colts. It could be Cincy, I guess. Like that would be pretty stunning. Versus if they are a wild card team and they're the 6 or 7 seed,
done.
Then it's done. Well, no. I mean, I'm saying if they're the 7 seed and they're going to Buffalo, I wouldn't like that in my first playoff game if I'm Buffalo.
No.
That's what I'm getting at.
But I also don't think there's any chance they're winning three.
No. Yeah. As a Chiefs fan, I want Pittsburgh to be the 7 in a way somehow. They're not going to be, but knock out Buffalo.
Be annoyance
That'd
someone
be
else.
Fun. Anyway. Sure. We're back at it tomorrow, guys. Full show coming your way on Thursday. We'll go up to Buffalo, talk with Mike Shope of WGR 550. We'll have fantasy football with Paul Charchian and Danen Hughes. Talk to you guys then. The Drive with C-Dot and Rob coming up next.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.